to the Daily Roundup here as part of the Reality Steve podcast. I am your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in on this Friday edition. Got a lot to talk about. We're going to hit up what's happening on Good Morning America, probably as you're listening to this, or it just happened. I got a story about my niece from last night. We're going to talk a little bit about yesterday's podcast with Jacqueline Trumbull. Joe from Vanderpump Rules went on Rachel's podcast and explained where she's at with Schwartz and their relationship. How about that? O.J. Simpson died yesterday. Going to talk a little bit about that. And I want to talk a little music. I heard this segment on the radio yesterday in Dallas, and I wanted to throw my answer in it and maybe ask you for yours. So we'll get to that last. And we'll get to all this momentarily. All right, so as we are speaking, Gary and Teresa are doing an interview on Good Morning America. I don't know what time it airs on the East Coast. I think it starts at 7 a.m. East Coast time. So by the time you're listening to this, it's probably already aired, unless you are first to listen to this on the East Coast, because this podcast that I'm recording on Thursday night hits my feed usually around 7:45 a.m. Eastern time. So maybe the news is already out, maybe not. Whatever the case may be, as I reposted on my Instagram story last night, yesterday around, I don't know, 6, 7 o'clock, Good Morning America's Instagram account teased the fact that Gary and Teresa had an announcement to make. And this is what I've been referring to for the last 2 days on my podcast. I was told earlier this week, Gary and Teresa are announcing their divorce later on this week. I did not mention them by name. I did not even mention there was a breakup. I just said, not so great news in Bachelor Nation. You'll hear about it this later on this week. And I left it at that. There wasn't anything else to report. Yes, I knew they were breaking up, but it's not my job and it's not my story to break. I don't want to jump in front of people's breakup stories. Did I 5 years ago? Absolutely. I remember I did it like 10 minutes before Andy and Josh's breakup happened, and it was going to People Magazine because somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody said, hey, I know somebody who works at People Magazine, and they're about to release a story that Andy and Josh are broken up. And so I tweeted it out, and 10 minutes later, people posted it. I don't do that anymore. I don't care to break something like that, because that's bad news. That's their story to tell. Now, I did not know it was a GMA interview. All I was told was they're announcing their breakup on Friday, or later on this week. And I was just like, okay, it's probably going to be Friday, because it's the old Friday news dump, to where if you do it on a Friday and most people are looking forward to the holidays or the weekend, they're not really all fired up about breaking down a news story like that, and it kind of disappears into the weekend. So not very surprising in that matter. And then, you know, when I did mention on Wednesday for the first time, like, hey, I'm not too surprised by it, it's because for months I had just been hearing rumblings that things weren't going great between them. So to hear that they got divorced wasn't very surprising to me. But that's what I was referring to. I did not want to mention them by name. I did not even want to mention breakup. That's why I worded it the way I did. Just not great news, not positive news in Bachelor Nation. Like I said, the problem is I'm recording this on Thursday night, and by the time you listen to this, they'll have already given an interview and said maybe the reason why they got divorced. All I can speak about is facts. I don't know any reasons. I never heard anything. All I just heard was they weren't going well between them. Things weren't great. But I didn't bother to ask, like, well, why wasn't it great? Is somebody cheating? I'm just like, that wasn't anything that I cared to dig deeper on. All we can deal with, at least for me, when I look at the story, is just the facts. The facts are, we just found out recently, we know they got married on January 4th, it was televised by ABC, and yet we found out a week ago that they don't even live together still. And I was just like, okay, that doesn't bode well. You know, I understand that there are couples out there that don't move in right away, but these are 72-year-old people that we thought everything was planned out. We had heard stories about, oh, they're looking to move to South Carolina together because Teresa has family down there. I don't know. Maybe they gave an absolutely detailed answer as to why they're getting a divorce or why they broke up. But, you know, that was the other thing I was told, was they're announcing their divorce later on this week. And that's something that obviously could get lost in translation. The main thing was it was clear they were having a breakup announcement. So I would never say somebody is getting a divorce and it ends up being, oh, they're just breaking up. Now, if an engaged couple breaks up, a married couple breaks up, usually that means they're getting divorced. But I wasn't going to speculate. And while I trust my source, and obviously my source was right on this, it just wasn't something that I was going to do. I don't reveal breakups that I know are coming anymore. I haven't done it for 5 years now. I think the last one I did, like I said, was Andy and Josh, and that was probably over 5 years ago. So, you know, it's unfortunate. Like I said, this stuff happens in Bachelor Nation. Breakups happen all the time. I'm not going to sit here and speculate on why, and it's probably not, ABC isn't thrilled about it because the show was so successful, and there are a lot of people that messaged me last night that were saying, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this, and it's like, okay, I mean, you know, you just got to remember, it's a reality TV show, and if you remember the timeline of this show, these two didn't meet each other until August of last year, and within 1 month, they were engaged, and within 4 months of that, they were married. So when you look at it at that timeline, if I said these people didn't meet on television, you would have been like, even though their age and they're older, and obviously you don't want to wait, you're not going to have a 5-year courtship usually at 70 years old. But if I told you two 72-year-olds or 72 and a 71-year-old met in August, got engaged a month later and got married in January, you might have some questions. It was sped up. There's no doubt about that. And I'm sure there is some sort of pressure on any couple when the show comes to them and says, we want to televise your wedding. And obviously we know from everybody else who's been gotten a televised wedding from ABC, not only is your wedding paid for, you get paid on top of it. So there you go. Those are facts. So it didn't work out. Unfortunately, they've broken up. And Monday we will discuss what they actually said on Good Morning America today. But yes, that was the story I knew that was coming, that they had broken up and getting a divorce. Another random story that happened last night. I don't know how many of you follow my niece on social media, but my niece sends me a picture last night, a text message. She was at the Tampa Bay Lightning game at the Amalie Arena in Tampa, and Joey was there last night. If you looked at his Instagram from last night, you know that he was at the game. He was in a jersey, and my niece fangirled over him. She met him, and I said, because she sent me the picture she took with Joey. I'm like, oh. She goes, oh my gosh, he was so nice. Oh my God, I'm fangirling so hard. I'm like, did you say anything about who you are? Did you say that you were Daisy's sister's roommate? And she goes, yeah. And she goes, and my uncle is Reality Steve. And he goes, and he said something along the lines of, he's well aware of the story. And seemingly he knew that my niece was Daisy's sister's roommate. So she said the interaction lasted about 15 seconds. And that was that. But, man, small world. Already small world enough that, as I said back in January, that my niece is the roommate of the woman who, for 3 months, I thought was the winner of The Bachelor, ended up being the runner-up. Just random that they are best friends and roommates. Even more random that Adeline, Daisy's sister, is coming to my fan appreciation party in Vegas in 2 months. The whole thing is just bizarre this season. Like, you couldn't have written a weirder script. And then my niece at the arena last night at the Tampa Bay Lightning game runs into Joey. I mean, what's next? You know, what is Jen going to have a hometown date in Frisco, Texas? I've told you about the only time I've ever been involved in filming myself or seen filming of The Bachelor was Andy's season when Marcus Grodd, who was from Dallas, Texas, I found out where his hometown date was going to be. I showed up there about an hour early, sat there, and I literally was taking pictures from a balcony about 20 feet above them when they were sitting there talking one-on-one. That was my own firsthand experience I've had of anything in regards to this show. And producers were all looking at me, but there wasn't anything they can do. I was in a public place, and they saw me taking pictures. I think they knew exactly who I was because they were on their walkie-talkies talking to each other and looking at me, then talking and then looking at me. The whole thing was just funny more than anything else. But yeah, I saw Andy and Marcus's hometown date before they went to his parents' house. They were walking around a strip mall in Highland Park, and then they sat down at a little cafe downstairs, and I was upstairs. So nobody else was around. It was like 3 in the afternoon on a Wednesday or Thursday or something. The other thing about that was eerie, that was the day, if I'm not mistaken, it was either the day, I think it was the day after we had found out the contestant from Andy's season had died in a paragliding accident, Eric Hill. I believe it was the next, I think that date of Marcus's date was, it had happened, the news had broken that day. And yeah, just a weird, weird day. I remember that though. Only time I've ever been involved in anything like that. But yeah, Anise ran into Joey at the Tampa Bay Lightning game last night. This podcast brought to you by Way. Ladies, you are too busy to be frizzy. I'm telling you. Grab Way's new anti-frizz cream. I gave it to my sister. She absolutely loves it. It's a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends while quenching dry hair with intense hydration. According to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed their hair looks less frizzy. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theway.com. That's theouai.com. And enter promo code RealitySteve for 15% off any product. That's theway.com, theouai.com, promo code RealitySteve for 15% off any product. So how many of you listened to podcast number 386 yesterday with Jacqueline Trumbull? I've already gotten a few responses from people that said, oh my gosh, when I listened to you and Jacqueline, I had to go listen to Jacqueline's podcast, which is called A Little Help for Our Friends, because they wanted to hear from Molly, the woman who suffers from dissociative identity disorder, which is basically the new term for multiple personality disorder. And both people, the three people that emailed me, said, I know you're going to doubt it, Steve, but it really sounds believable and it's real. And I'm like, okay, I still haven't listened to it. I plan on doing it this weekend. I'll give you my thoughts on Monday. But I hope a lot of you listened to that conversation, because I thought Jacqueline was great. And it was just fascinating to hear that story. But yes, am I skeptical before I listen to Molly and hear her go into her other personalities in her head? Sure. It's just so incomprehensible and so hard to believe that when you transfer into this other personality, that your main personality doesn't realize what's going on and it can't be stopped, and this person has completely taken over your being. I don't even know how to describe it, but the people that listened all emailed me yesterday and said, I was skeptical too, Steve, and I was wowed by it. So I gotta listen to it. So more of you as well, go listen to it and let me know what you think. I'd really like to hear what you guys think. Yesterday, Joe Wenberg from Vanderpump Rules went on Rachel's podcast, Rachel Levis's podcast, because she wanted to get her story out there in regards to what's going on with Schwartz. Because we saw in Tuesday's episode, she basically, they had a friends with benefits relationship, and she basically started to catch the feels, and Schwartz was just like, no, I told you, I don't want a relationship out of this. And she basically said, we got to cut it off then, because I'm starting to get feelings for you. And she was asked by Rachel what's going on, and she said she no longer speaks to Schwartz. She said, it's both from Tom Schwartz and my choosing. I think that we don't talk anymore, and we're going to do a little bit of boundary situation. That doesn't mean we might not talk in the future, and it doesn't mean that I don't miss him. It doesn't mean that he doesn't miss me. Our relationship was very organic. It was very granola, very simple, very easy. You list all the things that you want to have in a partner. They were there. And she said, the lack of trust led to their issues. The one thing that wasn't there probably was trust, and that's okay, because who am I to say he needs to be with or who he doesn't need to be with? What I need to do is I need to move on and work on myself. I look back and I feel very grateful that I had somebody in my life that made me so happy. We could not have laughed more. And Schwartz has a new girlfriend. Her name is Sophia Socorro. We haven't seen her on the show yet because I guess it hasn't happened in the timeline that he has a new girlfriend. But maybe we're not even going to get her this season. I don't know when he met Sophia Socorro versus when filming ended for Vanderpump Rules season 11. She said there was more. She confirmed the season 10 reunion. He was casually still seeing her. He has since played off how serious they were, which viewers got a larger glimpse of on the show. I think that we could have worked through it. However, we're in different places in our lives. And I support his place and I support myself. We're not on bad terms at all. I had to set some boundaries and I feel good about that. And she did say it was really tough because she'd never been with somebody who really made me smile almost every single second of every single day and then have it in. It's not been easy. We were so happy. We were in love. We would tell each other we loved each other, and we would be extremely just in our own bubble. We liked it that way, and the cameras would come up, and it was like I didn't even exist. So as much as she's complimenting him, she always seems to throw in a, but he changed when cameras were around. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he didn't. I'm just saying, do you want to be complimentary of him or do you want to take backhanded shots at him? I'm not saying her backhanded shots are wrong. I'm just saying usually you go one way or the other, but she's mixing in both when she's talking about it. So if you're interested, go listen to Rachel Levis's podcast. Yesterday, interesting news, because I didn't even know that he was sick, but apparently he was. O.J. Simpson passed away due to prostate cancer. Now, I'm not here to debate the jury and sit here and give my thoughts on whether or not he killed his ex-wife and a waiter. It's not the case is 30 years old. Like, it doesn't matter what I think, my thoughts, or anything like that. I just want to bring people back that weren't maybe alive back then. If you're in your 20s, you don't, this story, you're just like, okay, so a guy that was on trial and was found innocent, he passed away. Like, what's the big deal? You don't understand. I want to say that O.J. Simpson trial was maybe our first glimpse into reality TV, because this was a trial that captivated the world, captivated a whole country. I don't think there's anything in America that could happen right now that could get the attention that the O.J. Simpson case did. One, because obviously we had less channels back then. So yeah, all the news channels are going to cover it. Obviously, I'm talking about a murder case. If the president of the United States, you know, God forbid, was killed or died or was shot or assassinated, yes, obviously that'd be bigger than O.J. Simpson. But I'm talking about a celebrity just going on trial for alleged murder. I don't think anything would top what happened in the O.J. case. It was just fascinating all along. People were glued to their television sets all day long. Remember, this was at the advent of the internet. This was 1994. So I think, you know, message boards were just starting out. There was just so much about this case. And it was so crazy because O.J. Simpson was so beloved by America. He was on NBC Sports. He was a commentator. He was a former Heisman Trophy winner at USC. Like, this guy was beloved, especially when he started doing Hertz commercials and he was on our TV for football. And then to see this story break, you're like, what? O.J. Simpson's being accused of double murder? It was, if you weren't around back then, you can't grasp it. You can't. Because nothing in today's day and age with a celebrity could lead to this. To this much, literally, things stopping down in America to discuss this. And the NBA finals were going on at that time when O.J. Simpson went on his famous white Bronco chase. And they literally cut away from the NBA finals and were showing it in a split screen, a picture-in-picture, down in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen while the O.J. Simpson chase on the freeways of Los Angeles was on the main screen. Like, it was that big. Fascinating, fascinating times. But, you know, he passed away yesterday, so obviously that brings up memories back then. And what also brings up memories is this. I was listening to a radio show yesterday here in Dallas, and they were talking about what was the first, the host of this show, one is black and one is white. And the black host gave the white host homework and said, I want you to listen to a few Tribe Called Quest songs and let me know what you think. So then they just got to talking about what was your first memory of R&B, hip-hop, rap? What was the first song that you remember hearing? And I was like, huh, what was the first song? And I think for me, probably would have been fifth grade, and it probably would have been Run DMC's It's Tricky. Now, It's Tricky was combined with Aerosmith. So there, while it was rap, and it was on our Run DMC's album, I wouldn't... It's a rap song, okay. But if we're going to straight rap, because it had a, you know, rock and roll kind of beat to it with Aerosmith's guitars and stuff like that. There's not a lot of guitars in rap songs. So that would be the first one I remember. And then what came around was Beastie Boys, because Beastie Boys and Run DMC were like almost in tandem coming out. License to Ill was the first rap album I think I ever bought. Bought the cassette. And then Run DMC's, what was that? Why am I totally blanking on the name of that album? But you know which one it was. The one that had You Be Illin' on it, and It's Tricky, and Walk This Way. Oh, I said It's Tricky. I meant Walk This Way. That's the song with Aerosmith. Anyway. And then I was like, well, what was the first song that I heard that was like, uh-oh, maybe my ears shouldn't be listening to this? Or the first song that was a little suggestive that I heard. And I'm pretty sure it was at my sister's Sweet 16 party, which was at our house. They had gotten a DJ that they put in the backyard. And so she was a Sweet 16, and that was her junior year. So I was a seventh grader. And I remember the party being at the house. The DJ was blaring music in the backyard. And I heard this song come on called White Lines by Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. And I remember hearing it, and I loved the beat. I thought it was really cool. You got to remember, I was also, at that point, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, that was what I listened to as a kid. I listened to R&B and rap as a middle schooler and into high school. But seventh grade, I hear White Lines, and I totally loved the song. But as a seventh grader, I had no idea what they were talking about. I had no idea what White Lines meant. You know, vision, dreams of passion. All the while, I think of you. Yeah, you know what White Lines is, maybe, if you're my age or a little bit younger. You've heard White Lines before. I had no idea it was about cocaine, even with lines about blowing it up your nose and, you know, stuff like that. I didn't catch on. I was in seventh grade. I don't even think I knew. Maybe I had seen videos like teen after school specials on drugs and cocaine, but when it was put into a song and a rapper was rapping about white lines, I didn't know. So, just curious. Any of you out there, I'd like to know, what was your first memory of a rap R&B song? What was the first song you remember hearing and liking, obviously? You had to like it for you to remember it. But, yeah, I'd say Walk This Way, and then Beastie Boys with Brass Monkey, probably, and then White Lines was the first provocative song, I guess you could say, that I remember hearing and going, whoa. And then in eighth grade, I was introduced to 2 Live Crew, and that took the cake. NWA and 2 Live Crew, that became, oh, wow, this is putting it over the top. And Eazy-E. So thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. Follow me on Apple Podcasts. Also rate and review. But, yeah, you got to follow me on Apple Podcasts. Because you have to hit play as well. Because those episodes that download into your feed every morning don't count as a download unless you hit play. The other thing is, if you start following me, let's just say you're listening to this podcast today for the first time. If you start following me today, none of my back episodes are going to appear in your feed. So that's why I say you gotta follow me so you can get those episodes from that point forward into your feed every day. Please do that. I'd really appreciate it. Sports Daily will be up in an hour from now. You can check that out as well. Thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. We'll talk a little bit more about Gary and Teresa on Monday morning after I see what they have to say about their divorce today on GMA. And we'll take it from there. Thanks again for listening. I appreciate it, and I'll talk to you on Monday. See you.